How many of us are worried about what other people think about us? What would we like to hear about ourselves? What do we think about other people, and what measures do we use in our thoughts about other people? When Samuel was sent to anoint a new king of Israel, he learned that God's measure of a person was different than man's. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verses 6 and 7, it says of Samuel, "And it came to pass, when they were come, he looked on Eliab. And he said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." You know, the same is so true today. God's measure of a Christian is often different than that applied to many people. We often measure Christians by their attendance at the services of the church. If they attend all the services, then they must be faithful Christians. If they attend some of the services, then they must be weak. We also measure them by their participation in church-related activities. If they participate in all the activities, such as Bible classes or potlucks or prayer meetings, then they must be strong Christians. But if for whatever reason they do not participate in all that the church offers, they certainly become suspected. We also measure Christians by their leadership capabilities. Men are considered strong Christians if they lead singing or prayers or serve the Lord's Supper or teach or even preach. Women are considered strong Christians if they teach children's classes or attend ladies' Bible classes or prepare communion or participate in cleaning the building. But there is a problem with this measure. It tends to measure the outside of man. People can do all of these things and still be spiritually destitute on the inside. Jesus called these folks hypocrites. And that's exactly what they are. Hypocrites can exist quite comfortably with such a measure. Brethren can remain spiritually immature, especially if this is only the only measure that is given to them. It tends to neglect the multifaceted nature of the body of Christ, especially if the emphasis is placed on the public function, the church, or it emphasizes and places one function over another, such as teaching over service, or preaching over teaching. Paul in Romans 12, he was trying to deal with this issue, starting in verse 3. Paul wrote, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to think every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness." See, these are the measures and the things, the measuring stick that God is using. Because of these tendencies, The use of such a measure is wrought with the potential of misjudging and condemning one another. If we try to set one above just because of the outward actions. And this is something that we should avoid at all costs. James, in James 4, in verses 11 and 12, James, he writes, Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. And if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges another? But doesn't that what we typically do? Every time when I was in the military, we'd have an inspection team that is due to come in. We have a window of time that they could probably show up. It's supposed to be unannounced, but you always get a heads up from somebody. There's too many people on a base that know somebody that knows somebody that knows the schedule. And so we get this word out that within 90 days, we have this window open that inspection team is going to show up on the base. Some of them fly in on a plane that's scheduled. Others drive through the gate. They come in commercial. But before that time comes, you should see the base scramble. You never knew there was that much paint on a base. But we always seem to find 5 or 6 gallons at a time. Those who serve know what I'm talking about. First impressions. We will paint anything that's rusty. We will paint anything that's rotten. As long as when they come in and look at it, all they see is something really nice. Well, we have a tendency as human beings to judge people like that. Strictly on the outside. Jesus had told the Pharisees that they were whitewashed sepulchers. And we have to keep ourselves from becoming whitewashed sepulchers. That our actions are motivated by our love for God. The measure of a strong Christian is found in scriptures. In Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23, Paul wrote of that measure, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the qualities of a man who is truly spiritual. This is evidence that the truly spiritual are led by the Spirit of God. One who is spiritual, truly spiritual, will certainly be involved in the various activities of the church. Because you see, they have a tendency to put things that are important on the calendar. And things that aren't as important, they set aside because we're having a get-together. In Galatians 6 and verses 1 through 5, Paul, he writes, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. The measures that God uses, the fruit of the Spirit, the same thing that Paul is speaking about here in Galatians chapter 6. It requires that the inner man be changed first. And we seem as human beings to have that kind of convoluted and backwards. We want the acceptance of others, so we change the outward appearance. And that's fine, except we're only changing it for man, not for God. In Galatians 3 and verses 12 through 17, Paul said, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father by Him." Again, this measure begins with the inner man, not the outer man. And it carries over to our relationship with each other, such activities as our studies and our singing. Consider other passages, such as those that are given to preachers. You know, one can preach a great sermon, but what about his personal life? Paul, trying to get Timothy up to speed, trying to let Timothy know what he expects of him as well as what the Lord expects. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul said to Timothy, "Be thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." You see, if the preacher has none of these things, then he shouldn't be up here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, he said, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know, preachers may be able to contend for the faith, but is it in the right spirit? Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith and to follow after righteousness and have and profess that good profession before many witnesses. And we could say the same thing about church leadership, elders, if you will. While they may be the husband of one wife and have believing children that we find in Titus 1 in verses 5 and 6, are they quick to anger? Are they unable to teach others, as is written also in verses 7 through 9? I know of one congregation where a couple was having problems, marital problems, and they went to the elders of the church, and the elders said, we can't help you because we're not trained in marriage counseling. What does that say of those elders? Was it a popularity contest that got them to where they were? Was it man's measure that put them in that position instead of God's measure? But what about the rank and file of the church? What about the young and the old? They can attend services faithfully, but is their conduct becoming their stage in life? Again, we go to Titus chapter 2. Paul writes here, starting in verse 1 and going through verse 8. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, there's always that word in there, isn't it? In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Now, as I had gone over these verses earlier this week, I'm sitting there thinking, well, this isn't a whole lot different than the qualifications of an elder. So while we may not carry the title, we should all be emulating these qualifications. And what I find most intriguing to me is what the older women are to teach the younger women. Now that looks like an awful lot like qualifications of an elder too. Though they cannot hold the office. You see, we all have this part to play. While our wives and our women folk are here and encourage the men folk, they are an integral part of this congregation, in any congregation. And without that, the congregation, quite frankly, probably fall to pieces. See, God sees that. That's his measure. That's what he's looking for us. You know, there are challenges to such a measure because it emphasizes the reformation of the inner man first. When we change that inner man, trusting that the outside man will naturally follow. If we've changed our inner man, then you're going to see us here all the time in the right spirit. You're going to see ourselves in what Hebrews 10 tells us about not forsaking the assembly. Because our heart's desire is to be with like-minded brethren as much as humanly possible. Every day if possible. To be in that company. It requires transformation when confirmation would be a lot easier. You know, it's easy to conform to something, but it's so hard to transform because that requires some serious changing. Transformation takes more time than simple conforming. The sad part is that there are folks who do not want or are willing to take that time, either for themselves or for those whom they want to quickly conform to their ideas or their programs, like trying to get involved in teaching before they're ready, just to make themselves look good. You know, in James chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, James wrote, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." My dad used to be one of those jack of all trades. He used to say he was a jack of all trades and a master of none, but a lot of his work could have been done by a master. A lot of skills. And that's what the church is. A church is a jack of all trades, but brethren, we're going to spend a whole lifetime trying to master our trade. But as long as we keep trying to master the trade, we're doing okay. And we're letting God measure us. This is the measure that the Lord often sees. We see each other only a short time each week. It's easy for us to be able to put on a front. I know there are many here I know that are miserable. Their health is not that great, but they always have a smile on their face. They always say they're glad to be here when, you know, I know they'd rather be in bed because they feel that bad. And it's always an encouragement. When I've got the sniffles, I've got a headache, my tendency is, well, I sure would like to stay home. But I see a lot more folks in here in a lot worse condition than I am. And it does my heart good. Brethren who sometimes may seem passive when we're together, those brethren may be extremely active when we're apart. They may be active in their warfare against personal sin. They may be battling something every single day to overcome it, and we just don't see it because we look at things through human eyes. They may be active in their daily service to others in the name of Christ, but we can't see it because we're not around them 24/7. It may be an activity that we never see, but that God sees. Just as God was looking at his choice for king, and Israel was lucky it was God's choice and not Samuel's. The purpose in discussing the true measure of a Christian has not been that we can go around judging others, but to suggest caution in how we measure others, and to make sure that we are properly measuring ourselves. The statement that the Lord made to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 still applies today. So we need to be sure that the measure by which we examine ourselves is the same that is used by the Lord. I don't know if we've ever thought about it. In a way, I know we kind of asked ourselves, I wonder what so-and-so thinks of me. But I wonder a lot of times the more serious question is, what does God think of me? When that last great day comes, and we're standing on that bar, and Christ is in front of us, what do we hope to see? Do we hope to see a smile on his face? Do we hope to hear, welcome home? Do we look forward and are waiting for him to say to God the Father, this is one of my sheep? Or are we going to dread the words that, Father, this is one of those goats that we've been hoping would become a sheep? I don't know him. Where do we stand today? If we want to put a smile on the Lord's face that day of judgment, if we want it to be counted as his sheep, we need to use God's measure, not ours. And we need to make sure that our own personal lives measure up to what God expects. Will we make it perfectly? No, we will not. We will always find a way off kilter. You know, one of the things I've heard today is from someone was, haven't been able, can't do what I used to do. Well, amen to that. I can't either. I've probably been able at one time or another run the length of this building 20 times and just barely break a sweat. If I was to run from here to the bathroom, I'd be sweating and breathing hard. We all improve, maybe not physically with age, but spiritually with age. And sometimes it comes to the point in our lives where we may not be physically able to do the things we did when we were younger, but brethren, we're never above being able to encourage and admonish when things need to be done. Where do you stand today in God's measure? If you're not a Christian, think about this week. Think about it in these next few moments. How do I measure up? And when that last great day comes, where will I be standing? If you're not a Christian, we want to give you that opportunity tonight to obey the gospel, to be baptized for the remission of sins, so that you will be counted as sheep in the Lord's eyes. This day make heaven rejoice. Make the angels sing by obeying the gospel. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you now come to realize that you're using man's measure and not God's, and you need to make things right and change that measuring stick and use the one that truly counts. If anyone has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?